to the Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes, and you can have it too. Let's get down to business. What's up, you guys? Now, I say you guys, but I mean all of you. I love the guys and the girls and all the ones that don't identify. It's fine, okay? Hopefully, you don't get offended when I call you guys. But I am back today because I want to teach you some other amazing stuff that you badly, badly want to know, right? That's why you're here. But I want to tell you before I get started teaching you about blood sugar numbers that I'm going to offer a 3-day course called Blood Sugar Savvy. Blood Sugar Savvy. Don't you want to be blood sugar savvy? There's a lot. I don't want to make it sound crazy difficult or confusing, but there's actually a lot of things that impact your blood sugar. So maybe some of you didn't know that sleep deprivation might impact your blood sugar, or the common cold, or over-the-counter medications. I don't know. There's some different things. And it's important to really understand what's changing and influencing your blood sugar readings because two reasons. One, it just gives you more power to understand and interpret your blood sugar readings so you can make decisions, right? It gives you like the working knowledge so that you can influence and create blood sugar readings you want to have. And then the other possibly more important reason is that when we don't understand our blood sugar readings, some of us can have a freak out. We can get, you know, spun out in confusion and despair, and we make it mean all kinds of things like nothing's working. And some of us will even make those numbers mean that we're going to die. So when you are able to interpret your blood sugar readings, you can stop yourself from doing that because you understand why they are what they are. So that 3-day mini course is going to be available soon. I would say October 11th is the day that I'm planning to release that. And I want you to stay tuned. Don't worry, I'll remind you. And if you're listening to this over after the fact, it's going to be available on my website. That's sarahtownley.com. Okay, so today I want to talk about numbers, blood sugar numbers, right? Some of us are checking our blood sugar and we're like, I don't know. Is this good or bad? I don't really know. And what is the point? First of all, why did anybody tell you to check your blood sugars? And good grief, are they telling you to check it several times a day and write it down in a log? And then you don't even know what that information means? How annoying. How pointless. How painful. How useless. How expensive. Like all the things, right? And a lot of doctors have just been trained to tell you to do that without really equipping you with the information you need to interpret and understand those and then make decisions with them. And so if nobody is checking your blood or if nobody is reviewing your blood sugar readings and using that information to make decisions, it's a logical and totally valid question of why am I doing this? Especially if you're not even using the information to help yourself. So today we're going to look at those numbers and get a better clue of what's a good number or what's a bad number so that you can use that information to help yourself. Okay, so the very first thing I will say in response to the question, is this a good or bad number? Is, well, it kind of depends on where you're starting from, right? Is it an improvement? Because let's not miss the opportunity to high-five ourselves. Okay, if you're seeing better numbers than you did last week or yesterday, let's have a celebration. Let's just stop everything right now and pat ourselves on the back because you need to, any opportunity that you have, congratulate yourself and stop to enjoy the fact that you are a badass and you are figuring this out. Why is this so critical? Well, the biggest reason is because most of us are. This process doesn't feel good, right? This process of learning how to manage type 2 diabetes can feel terrible most of the time. And if you are making lots of decisions to change your behavior, it can also feel very uncomfortable because your brain is protesting through a lot of that. And especially if you're giving up some things that you enjoy and feeling deprived and using the process of delaying instant gratification to achieve a, you know, future outcome, when that future outcome arrives, you want to celebrate because that is the dopamine hit. That is the pleasure that you have been delaying your mind from having. So take the opportunity to reward your mind by giving it a little bit of congratulations, celebration, pleasure, whatever you want to call it, by appreciating the fact that you're getting somewhere. Your blood sugars are looking better. So that's the first thing I want to say about whether or not this reading, this number, is good or bad. The second thing I want to remind you is that it's never a good thing to dramatically and rapidly drop your blood sugars. If you have been running high, even if you're first diagnosed, or if you just haven't been taking care of yourself for a while and A1C is up pretty high, and you're like, okay, like rolling up your sleeves, you know, like getting down to business. If you have been running, say, in the 300s or even higher, to quickly drop your blood sugar into the 100s is going to feel bad. Not only is it going to feel bad, but there's actually clinical data out there to say that it's actually damaging. It can damage your tissues. It can cause injury to your organs when you suddenly drop your blood sugars and your body hasn't acclimated to that. And remember, if you have insulin resistance, this is a process that has been moving forward over a long period of time. There's no need to hurriedly correct your blood sugars today or next week if you understand that this is a process your body has been experiencing and adjusting to over years. Okay, so you can just kind of take the pressure off and understand that if you feel low, if your blood sugar reading comes back in the hundreds or even in the 200s, and you know it's not normal per se or at goal per se, but you feel bad, like you're feeling the signs and symptoms of a low blood sugar, that's a low for your body and your brain. And you should honor that. Your body is telling you it's uncomfortable for a reason. And so it's okay to take your time lowering your blood sugars, and it's okay to treat a blood sugar that isn't technically low, but feels low to your body. Okay. A technically low blood sugar is going to be, in US units of measurement, anything less than 70. And 70, remember, is not an exact number for every single person on the earth. It's the number that we agree is where we cut off and say, underneath this, this is abnormally low. Now, many people who manage their diabetes with diet alone will see blood sugars in the 60s and feel fine, okay? And if you're not on a medication that directly lowers your blood sugar, or if you're on medications that don't actually have the potential to cause low blood sugar independently, then that's going to make your interpretation of anything under 70 different. If you're on medications like insulin or a sulfonylurea like glimepiride, glipizide, and you see a blood sugar reading under 70 and you feel bad, like that is an urgent situation that does need immediate attention. Okay. And if you're seeing blood sugars that are less than 70 and you're just on metformin or you're just on Ozempic or an injectable like that, those drugs do not independently cause low blood sugars that are super dangerous. And so I want you just to comfort yourself in knowing that nothing terrible is going to happen to you if you are on, say, metformin and you see a 65 and you feel bad. Like, you're not going to be tanking per se and in danger of passing out. Okay, I know that low blood sugars are scary, and a lot of people have anxiety around that, so I just want to address it directly before we start talking about numbers. All right, so again, in the U.S., we use a different unit of measurement than people outside of the U.S. In the U.S., we use milligram per deciliter on a glucometer. That's the measurement, the unit of measurement that we refer to, and that's how I'm going to teach you today when it comes to your numbers. If you're outside of the US, you're using millimoles per liter. It just looks different, okay? But all of us use percentage points when it comes to A1C, no matter if we're in the US or not. Now, there's two major types of blood sugar readings. There's fasting blood sugar readings, and there's postprandial blood sugar readings. Okay, fasting means you haven't consumed anything except water or black coffee or tea in the last 8 hours. Most of us are fasting when we wake up in the morning. This is a very important type of blood sugar reading. Okay, I kind of like to think of it as the North Star. It's like our baseline. Okay, it's like our plumb line. And so for most people, especially if you're just checking once in a while, a fasting blood sugar reading is very important to check. It's also a reading that we use to diagnose type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance. And if you have had two fasting blood sugar readings over 126, you're going to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. A blood sugar reading that's fasting that is between 100 and 126 is still considered pre-diabetes. Anything under 100 fasting is considered normal. I want to just interrupt before I talk about postprandial to say that most people who are in the process of reversing diabetes or even have a normal A1C sometimes still see that morning fasting blood sugar be like their highest reading of the day. And that's because of something called the dawn effect, okay? And I will talk about that in a different podcast episode. But I just want to point out that there is, for some people, a problem getting the fasting into the normal range even when their A1Cs are below the cutoff for pre-diabetes and are still in that normal range. Okay, so then there's the postprandial blood sugar readings. And postprandial blood sugar simply means we're talking about a reading that happens 2 hours after the start of a meal. It's just a category of readings, okay? And in people who are diabetic, we generally like to see that postprandial reading under 180. Okay, the cutoff for type 2 diabetes diagnosis is actually over 200, but when we are managing type 2 diabetes in a clinic and we are shooting for an A1C of less than 7, we generally ask your 2-hour postprandial to be less than 180. Okay, now if you're seeing it between 140 and 200, that's the range that we would say is pre-diabetes. And then anything under 140, we say is normal for a 2-hour postprandial. Okay, so if you are checking your blood sugar, the first thing you want to know is this a fasting or is this a 2-hour postprandial? Or is this just random, right? Like maybe it's bedtime, you ate 4 hours ago, or it's in between meals and it's been several hours. It's the interpretation or answer to that question really is rooted in what your goals are, okay? Now let's talk specifically about goals because it seems like everybody should have the same goal, but that isn't true. And the only person that can judge what your goal should be is you, and it could be different from your doctor's goals. So let's talk about that. Most doctors want your A1C to be 7% or lower. This corresponds to fastings below 130 and a 2-hour reading after meals less than 180. That generally will put you at an average blood sugar of 154, okay? And that corresponds to an A1C of 7%. Now, some people are very happy and content with an A1C of 7% or lower, but most of the clients that I work with, not only do they want an A1C that's even lower than that, but they also want to be able to do that without the use of medications, okay? So, people have different goals, and you're just going to have to get clear with yourself about what is your goal. There's no wrong or right answer, okay? It's really just what you want. And when you follow me on my podcast, I explain why my approach of using no medications and lifestyle alone as much as possible to create an A1C that is below what your doctor probably wants is advantageous. Okay. And so, but I just want you to know that I'm never going to be the right person to say for you what your goal should be. And I don't have any judgment about it either. I just usually work with people who want a different option than what the doctors offer. And if you decide you don't want that, I'm never going to be the one that needs to comment on that. Like, my opinion really is irrelevant. Okay. Now let's talk about what your goal might be if it's not the same as your doctor. So if you want normal blood sugars, your A1C will need to be less than 5.7%, because that's the cutoff for prediabetes. It's where we say blood sugars become abnormally high, okay? And that's it due to or secondary to insulin resistance. A 5.7% A1C corresponds to an average blood sugar of about 114. So in order to get an A1C in the normal range, you're going to be shooting for fastings consistently less than 100 and 2-hour after meal readings consistently less than 140 to get that average of about 114, or an A1C that's in the normal range. So it's up to you, whatever your goal is. And if you know what your goal is, you can start to look at your blood sugar readings through that filter and make a judgment. Is this at goal or not? Is this good or not? All right. So hopefully that helps you understand better how to interpret your blood sugar readings. Now, I will touch real quick on a topic that I want to emphasize. I'm going to do a whole nother episode on this topic because it's so pivotal for so many people in trying to reach their goals. But I call this blood sugar drama. Okay. So you probably know what I'm talking about because you've probably had some drama when it comes to the number that your glucometer is giving you in any moment in time. Okay. So what does this look like? This looks like you, and we do this with a scale too, right? So we check our blood sugar and we get the reading, and suddenly we feel terrible, right? We feel frustrated. We feel discouraged or even despair. We can feel angry. We can feel hopeless, right? We can think all kinds of things just because we see a number. And the reason why I bring this out is because I want you to understand that that number is not what's causing you to spiral down into a dark, dark hole. The number really doesn't mean anything until you have a thought about it. We just talked about, is this number good or bad? Interpretation and judgment of your number. Okay. But there's a whole other layer. Like, really what we talked about already is this number at my goal or not? But when you judge it as good or bad, and then you have a bunch of thoughts and emotions about that number that lead you to doing things and showing up in a way that does not serve you, I want to point out to you that this part is optional. Many of you probably think I'm crazy, right? You're going to be like, what? I got a 350, and of course that's terrible news, and I'm doing all these things and nothing is working, and I'm so angry and disgusted that I want to break my glucometer or never check it again and give up. And what I'm telling you is that that 350 is not what caused you to feel angry. It's not what caused you to get frustrated or to avoid checking your blood sugar or give up. It's your thoughts about that 350. And I want to go into more depth on this and give you lots of examples of why the way that I'm teaching you is going to empower you. But that 350 doesn't mean anything until you have thoughts about it. And for some people, they could see that number and think, well, of course it is. I ate this or that, right? Or, that's interesting. What in the heck happened here? Like, I need to figure out what's going on. Or, hey, that is so much better than last week. I'm so pumped about this. Things are working. Or you could have 100 other thoughts that do not feel like terror, anger, hopelessness, right? And so I want you to start to pay attention. When are you giving your emotional experience over to your glucometer? How is this showing up for you? And when you feel this way in response to a blood sugar reading, what happens? What do you do? Because I can tell you right now, whatever you're doing from a space of that experience is not going to be useful for you. And it's possible for you to have a completely different reaction if you just learn and gain awareness and direct your mind the way you want it to so that you feel and behave in a way that serves you. Okay, so more on that to come. I hope that this material we covered today is empowering for you. You can start to understand what your blood sugar monitor is telling you. And I will see you on the next podcast. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownley.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.